Glory to God. Well, I just need to tell you that Kim was blessed last week. She was just thrilled coming, and you know, the receptivity and everything that was going on is just awesome. Come on. It's awesome. And the Spirit of God moved. Glory to God. And He's going to continue to move. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray over the offering this morning, and we just thank God for it. We do it differently. We have the box in the back and all of that, and the online giving, and we have an app that's just awesome for that, and you can text to give, all of those things. But let's just pray over it, because we want to present what we're bringing this morning to Him. Amen? Come on. Father, we come to You. We owe You everything. There's nothing that we own, Lord, that You haven't given to us. Even the people in our lives, Lord, whether they be our parents or our siblings or Lord, our children, Lord, our grandchildren, they're all gifts from You. And Father, we just want to praise You and thank You and honor You for it. And today, Lord, as we get into to just offering You our finances, Father, as something that You've given to us in the first place, Lord, we know that Your tithe is holy. We know that offerings are important to You, Lord. But we come with our full heart surrendered to You, God. And we ask You to just receive these offerings in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. And Lord, we want to be careful to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for all that You're doing and all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I'm going to switch mics here. Hallelujah. Come on, His Word is alive, isn't it? How many have ever been changed by His Word? Come on. How many have ever gotten insight from reading His Word? How many have ever been corrected by His Word? Glory to God. If you haven't been, then there's something wrong, right? Because He'll correct your attitudes, and whatever He says is right. Amen? Come on, whatever He says is correct. Glory to God. And as we come to His Word today, it's like, Lord, I don't want to change Your Word. I don't want Your Word to... Sometimes we read the Word, what Scripture can I find to so that my attitude won't be so bad, or that God will agree with my attitude, you know? And it's like, no. God, I want Your Word to be the absolute centerpiece of my life. I want Your Word to be my thermostat, if you will. I want the compass of my life to be Your Word, because, you know, it's just flat honest that His Word works. Amen? Thank You for Your enthusiasm. His Word works. Glory to God. How many know we've been filled with the Holy Ghost? What does that mean? What does that mean? That means the Spirit of God has come to live on the inside of us. That means God is at home in us, if Jesus is Lord of our lives. I want to talk to you about that this morning. If you go to John chapter 7, when we first started the church years and years and years ago, I felt impressed that God wanted us to be a place where He could manifest Himself, where His presence could be made known and His presence could have an effect on us, right? His presence isn't just about... you know, it's getting goosebumps or having a great service, although those are important, right? But His presence in us is supposed to be something in our daily lives that we walk in and that we're a part of, and that God has a purpose for us in it. Now as you're reading through these scriptures, I want you to personalize them. I want you to take it in. But in John chapter 7 and verse 37... It says, on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, no, it wasn't like Jesus was up there going, may I have your attention? Excuse me. It says he cried out. He cried out with expression and for the whole crowd to hear. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. In other words, if you want anything to satisfy the thirst of your soul, it has to come through him. You know that's still true today? Come on, it was then, and look at this. Some people believed in him, some didn't. He was a great controversial figure, but the reality is he was saying, look, if you really want God, and if you want to receive from God, and if you really want everything that God has for you, it's all through me. Yes. Come on, it's the same today, right? It's the same today. You can't go through Muhammad. You can't go through Buddha. You can't go through... It's all through Jesus. It's the only way to the Father. He said, I'm the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. It's funny because we live in an age, and I hope that you're all praying for the election coming up. I hope you're all registered to vote. If you're not, get registered. Glory to God. Your vote is important. Hallelujah. Your vote counts. Glory to God. And I believe it's something that God's given us the right to do. And I just believe, you know, how do you vote? Who should you vote for? Well, let me tell you, I've got a list up here. I'm going to write these. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But here's what I am going to do. I'm going to say, get your Bible. Look over the platform or what the candidates are saying. And say, does it line up with the Bible? And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, you can't vote for them. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's like, well, I might not like this guy's personality or this gal's the way she talks or her attitude or whatever. But what is she standing for? That's the main thing. Glory to God. And so pray. Be led of the Spirit of God. But definitely... definitely vote. If you haven't registered, get on it. Glory to God. There should be not one Christian who doesn't vote who's able to vote. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Glory to God. Come on. Again, verse 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He who believes in me out of his heart, and the King James says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You notice that it doesn't say out of his head, out of his hand, you know, out of his toes, out of his ears, out of his nose. It says out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, I love that it's rivers of living water. Because a river has life continually flowing through it. Constantly flowing. And a river will shape the course of the land that's around it. Come on. A river has something powerful in it. But rivers of living water shall flow out. For what purpose? For what purpose? I believe it's to change me, but also that I can have an influence on the world around me. Right? I believe that God wants you and wants me to have an influence on the world that we're in. Rather than allowing the world to shape us, we ought to shape the world. Glory to God. Now watch this. It's not by my own power. It's not, well, then I'm going to become an activist. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Nothing wrong with activism as long as it's directed by the Holy Ghost. But my power doesn't come through my flesh or my effort on my own. My power comes through the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. Come on. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. The next verse says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now look at that. We all know this, but I'm just going to refresh this in just a minute. The reason that the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, or any of the prophets in the Old Testament have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, is because their hearts were not made alive. And by that I mean that sin, because of Adam's sin, all of his children, grandchildren, great, all the way down to us, the sin problem kept God from being able to commune with us heart to heart. But Jesus solved the sin problem. Right? He who knew sin, no sin, became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was telling them, I haven't done that yet, but when I do that, there's coming a day when the glory of God will not just be around you, the weighty presence of God won't be around you, but it'll be in you. But it's not in you for anything else but to be a river of living life, just going to everybody that you touch, everybody that you see, everybody that you're around. I got the life of God on the inside of me. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Now just go back a minute in the same chapter, chapter 7, but go to verse 11. I want you to see this. Then the Jews sought the feast and said, where is he? Sought Jesus at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much complaining. There was much complaining among the people. Some said he is good. Others said the contrary. He deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for the fear of the Jews. Now that the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? This is really important that you get a hold of this, because it says that Jesus had never studied. He wasn't a Pharisee. He didn't spend his whole life in the Scripture, but he knew the Scripture. How in the world does this man know, and how can he speak with such authority when he hasn't been taught of men? Now I want you to see this, because it has application to us. Right? It has application to me. My qualifications don't come from the man that I learn from. I'm grateful for my teaching. I'm grateful for men who put into my life. But that's not where I get my qualifications. Let's go on. Jesus answered and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it is he who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning this doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness that lives in him. Now listen, what am I saying? I'm saying this morning, that God wants you to know that His Spirit lives on the inside of you. And you don't have to worry or get wrapped up in, I've got to have this degree, or I've got to have that degree, or if I was only as smart as this one, if I was only as smart as that one. We're not to think only with our head. We're supposed to be allowing the Holy Spirit of God to speak into us so that He can speak through us. And when He speaks through us, it won't be our words that we're speaking, but it'd be His word that He's speaking through us. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have you ever thought or been impressed of, well, I need to go talk to that person about Jesus, or I need to go say Jesus loves you to this guy or to that gal or something, and go, man, I'm scared to do that. I'm intimidated to do that. What will I say? How can I come across? I might look stupid. But what I'm telling you this morning is that the Holy Spirit wants to have rivers of living water coming through you. But like everything in the Scripture, it's God wants to do a work. But God needs us to make a move. Come on. Let me say that again. God wants to do a work, but He needs us to make a move. You know, Moses would have never parted the Red Sea if he hadn't put his foot in it. Put his staff on it, right? Come on. Over and over again, over and over again. Come on. Joshua would not, the walls of Jericho would have never come down if he didn't do what his part was. And some of us are waiting in our prayer closets. Oh, God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Do it, do it, God, do it, do it, do it, God. Come on, God, I'm expecting a miracle. I'm stuck. And God says, no. I'll do as you go. But if you're not willing to go, I'm not willing to do. But God hasn't done anything. Well, what have you done? Well, I believe that God's called me to go to Africa. Well, what have you done to make that happen? He's not going to necessarily come into your room and just, you know, translate you from your room to Africa. Sometimes you've got to do something. And how do you know what to do? You know what to do and when to do out of your relationship with the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of you. Jesus said over, I only say the things that my Father told me to say. I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. He said, you couldn't handle this right now, but there's coming a day when you can handle it because I'm going to be glorified, and in my glorification, you're going to be changed. And when you're changed, you're going to have the potential of rivers of life flowing through you. So I want you to get this. Every one of us who's born again has the potential to be a life-producing river. But not sitting on our couch. Not sitting in your prayer closet. Prayer closets are great. They have a place. Couches are great, man. I love my couch. But watch this. That's not the place where God wants to use us. He wants us to be moved by Him. Now go with me to, and I love this verse. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And I've told you the story many times of where I read this verse. And the Lord had me to witness to somebody, but I went, man, God, I don't know what to say. I'm only saved a few months, Lord. What do I say? How do I? But this verse came to me, Luke 12, and look at verse 11. Well, actually, verse 10. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven him, but he who blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Glory to God. But now, when they bring you to the synagogues, into the magistrates, into the authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. If you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to be as smart as you think you do. You just have to trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you're supposed to say it. Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be said and when it needs to be said. I've told you this before, but I got saved, and 3 months after I got saved, the fellow that I was involved with and doing Bible study said, well, Wednesday night you're teaching. Oh, and I'm teaching. I don't know where all the books of the Bible are. I don't know. What do you mean I'm teaching? I know nothing. Literally nothing. But I'd read this verse right here in Luke. I've been reading through, you know, started with John, you know, and came back to Luke. But I read this verse, and when it said the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say, I went, well, I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And so what I'll do is I'll just go. Now, I don't necessarily ascribe to this. This is not the pattern that I'd have people go through, but here's what I did. I went to the Bible study 15 minutes earlier, whatever, maybe a half hour early, and I sat in the driveway and I prayed in the Holy Ghost for that time. We went inside, had a few songs, and then I went like this. Open your Bible to Luke. In fact, the first time I did it, I opened it up and said, Open your Bible to Romans chapter 5. I've never read Romans chapter 5 in my whole life. But I was trusting that the Holy Spirit would give me words to say in that self-same hour. Now, I'm not telling you it was the greatest sermon you've ever heard. I'm not telling you it was the greatest teaching, and it might have had some mess-ups in it. But out of that, there were men and women who got filled with the Holy Spirit. Some got saved. Some got healed, right? Because I allowed the Holy Spirit to use me and let those rivers of living water flow through me. Why am I saying that today? Because we're supposed to be producing that type of person in this hour. Who's that? You.
Yes.
You. Me. We're supposed to trust in that the Holy Spirit will teach us in the very hour what you ought to say. How many have ever done this? Lord, I think you want me to go talk to this person. But and then you spend 3 or 4 days thinking about what you're going to say. I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that, I'm going to say this, and they might answer this, and so I've got to have this ready, and I've got to have this ready. There's nothing wrong with preparing, but the reality is you've got to let all of that go at some point and say, well, Holy Spirit, I'm just going to trust you that you'll give me the words to say in the very self-same hour. I'm telling you, I've visited people in the hospital. I've visited people, one of the things of doing like a memorial service or a funeral is that there's times when you've got to go visit people that you don't know. And, you know, you got the collar on, right? I don't wear a collar, but you know, you're the man. You're the man of God, right? And yet, I don't have a clue what to say to these people. I'll give you an example. This is years and years ago. It's when this church first started up. There was a lady who was coming, and she called me, and she said, my daughter passed away, and I was wondering if you'd do the service for us. And I said, I'd be happy to. Well, she committed suicide, and she left a 2-year-old son. What do you say? What do you say? How do you help those people? How do you, you know, I could go back to my stock answer that I've been taught, or maybe even grow. Well, you know, anybody that commits suicide, there's people that believe this, committed murder, so they're going to hell, right? I don't personally believe that, but the reality is I'm on the way. I can remember going across the Narrows Bridge, going, God, you got to help me. And they lived in University Place. God, you got to help me, right? You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what and how. And I got there, and I was talking to them, and her brother was really angry and, you know, and hurt, and they were all very upset. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart this analogy, that the reason that people commit suicide is they lose hope. They sense that there is no hope. And I said, again, this was by the Spirit of God. This was revelation coming from the Spirit of God. In my heart came these words up to my head, and I began to speak them out. He said, somebody who commits suicide is like a person who goes into a cave. And when you first walk into a cave, you can look around and see the entrance, and therefore you could find your way out. But if you go far enough into a cave and you take a right and then you take a left and you're going further down into it, and all of a sudden you come completely disoriented and you just sat down, you just sit down because it seems like everything you try doesn't work and you're just hopelessly lost in the cave. I said, that's a person who commits suicide. They just run out of hope. It's not, you know, it's sometimes it's just not their fault. There is hope, and if they grab the hope, they can find their way out, but they just didn't see the hope. And why am I saying that? I'm saying that for this reason, that in that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit gave me what I needed to say to that family to bring comfort to them. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So it's important to know that God will give you words to speak to people. And I'll just say this, that at memorial services and things like that, when people are grieving, or, you know, they don't really need to hear all your wisdom. They don't really even need to know your answers. Because oftentimes our answers are just, well, they're ridiculous sometimes. How about this? Have you ever said this? Somebody has gone through something tragic and you go, well, I know how you feel. That's a stupid thing to say. Because you really don't. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to be the vessels that the Holy Spirit is contained in, so that in the same self-same hour when somebody has a need, that we can go to them and speak to them a word of encouragement. Amen. Yes. But we can. Yes. You can. Yes. You have the ability to do that because His ability resides on the inside of you. I got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He will give you the words to speak. But everything that comes from God comes through the door of Jesus. But not just the door of Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Every bit of grace is gotten through faith. In other words, Lord, I just believe it. I believe it. And faith isn't an inactive thing. Faith is an active thing. I believe it, so therefore I'm going to act on it. Right? Are you with me? Come on. So the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water today are for us. They're for me and they're for you. And this church should be full of people who are having adventures in God because they're trusting God to use them to meet the needs of those out in the world. Amen, 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 amen. And that's what I believe in. That's what I'm encouraging you for, that out of your belly, out of my belly, should flow rivers of living water. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 1. But while you're going there, it's really interesting. Did you know that if you go up to the mountains, and well, first of all, if you started at the sound where like the Nisqually River comes out, and you look at that river and you go, man, this is a big, big river. And it is. But then you follow it all the way back up to the mountain, where it feeds from the glacier. But it's not just fed from the glacier. There's other streams that come into it that flow into that river. Yes. And you see, the Holy Spirit wants to use us as a river, but our rivers might be coming from a little bit different stream. And the body of Christ might look different over here than it does over here. And you might act a little different than I act, or, you know, because my source is just a little bit different than yours. But the river is the Holy Spirit inside of us. Right? So it's not just one river. It's not just one person. It's all of us acting in unison. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 4 said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall be baptized. And the word baptized means filled to overflowing. It means completely submerged. It means to be fully submerged in the Holy Spirit. Many of us had an experience after we got saved that we were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is awesome because I get out of my mind and he speaks and prays through me, and he'll give me revelation out of my spirit because it activates something in my spirit, right? Glory to God. But that shouldn't be a one-time experience. As Kim alluded to this week, it should be something that we're actively involved with. Why? Because we're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray for this one, or I don't know how to pray for that one. But Lord, You know their needs, so I'm just going to come before You and start interceding on their behalf. And you just keep praying and praying, and the Holy Ghost will use you. That's part of being not only having the Holy Spirit with you, but the Holy Spirit in you, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't even know how to pray sometimes, but I know that if I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. So I know how to pray. I know what to do because the Holy Spirit inside of me gives me the words to say. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the Greek, it says it like this. We don't have this tense in English, but it's be being filled. What does that mean? That means all the time, continually, on an ongoing basis, let the Holy Spirit fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your actions, fill your thoughts. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I like it because it's before it starts out with that, it says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. So I believe that there's a place in God. We may not feel like it. We may not feel it, but we can still be filled because the Word says that we're filled. Come on. I mean, I love to feel God. How many love to feel His presence? Glory to God. You know, and just sense the weightiness of His presence. I love that. But I don't need that to know that I'm filled with Him. So if my body isn't feeling it, I don't care. I'm going to continue to praise Him. I'm going to continue to... Because why? I want that river not to become a stagnant pool. I want an inflow and I want an outgo. Come on. All of us. What's that? In what, Ephesians? Ephesians 5:18. Yeah. All right. So I want an inflow and an outgo. And to do that, I have to listen and I have to speak. If the Holy Spirit's giving me words to speak and I just go... What's happened? I've had an inflow, but I stopped it up, and there's no outgo. So we become stagnant. I think some Christians aren't feeling everything that God would have them feel or experiencing because they've... God, use me. We aren't doing anything. We don't have an expectation that that river is going to flow out of us. But yet He's promised He would do it. He said, wait in Jerusalem until this happens. But as soon as it happens, do something. Acts chapter 2. What outcome would I like to see from today? I would like us all to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and wake up in the morning with an expectation that God's going to use me today in some way, somehow. So, Lord, I just thank You for a divine appointment today. 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 Not next week. Not next year. Not next month. But today, somehow, God's going to use me. Hallelujah. And sometimes we're waiting for the spectacular, right? God's going to use me. I'm going to go up to that person in the wheelchair at Walmart and pull them out and they're going to be healed. Awesome. God could do that. But more often than not, God's going to come up to you and say, tell them I love them. Tell them that I love them. And you're going to go, well, that's kind of silly. But you just do it and God will use it. One time a friend of mine, he felt impressed to call this guy. And so he called him on the phone. And he said, "Brother, you don't know me that well, but the Lord told me to call you." And he said, "You don't have to say anything else. I was just here praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, I need a word from you. I need to know that you're in my life. I need to know that you really care about me. I really need to know." And one man's obedience to call and say, "The Lord told me to call you," was all that was necessary. It was a supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit, because one man didn't let the river stagnate. He let it open up and do what God told him to do. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You're the only one that can have the outgo happen. God won't make you do it, but He'll allow you to do it. Verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them. One sat on each of them. One sat on each of them. It wasn't the 12. There was like 150 in this room. One sat on each. Why did one sit on each one of them? Because they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That they all had the potentials to be rivers of living water. Not one of them was left out. Not one of them said, "Well, you know, you're not an apostle, so just, you know, just we'll tell you everything you need to do. Don't try to do anything by yourself. Come to us. Bring everybody to us." No, it was like every one of us have the potential to be used by God, but we've got to see ourselves as, first of all, being a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and second of all, knowing that it's not our righteousness that allows us to do this. It's all because Jesus paid the penalty for our hearts to be in a place where He could come and dwell on the inside of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo! Verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Look at verse 12. It says this, "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them," Peter, along with the 11, come on, rose up with the rest of them. In other words, come on, Peter, you know Peter, loudmouth Peter, Peter that would say one thing and then, "Well, Lord, I'll never desert you," and then denied Him three times. This same Peter, who at one point Jesus said, "Man, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hasn't revealed to this, but the Father, you're blessed, man." And the next day Jesus was saying, it's in the same chapter, "Peter," He's saying to him, "Satan, get behind me." Because what was coming out of his mouth was not from God. The same Peter. Same Peter. The same Peter. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, why? Because he'd just been filled with the Holy Ghost. Just been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he went on to give this sermon. It was incredible. Just an incredible sermon. But we'll just hit a portion of it. "For these are not drunk as you suppose," verse 15, "but it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I got scripture on it. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." Everybody is a candidate for having God use them and move through them. And again, I believe this word prophesy isn't that you're going to predict when Jesus is coming back. I don't believe this is necessarily talking about you're going to get up and this man's going to win the election or this is going to happen. What this means is that everybody is a candidate to be used by God, to be inspired to speak something from heaven into the hearts of other individuals. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, just one word, just something, you know, spoken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It can be something as simple as Jesus loves me. Come on, Jesus loves you. Here's the thing, too. When God wants to use you and speak through you, oftentimes He won't give you the whole thing. He'll just give you partial. I don't believe Peter had notes. I don't believe Peter said, well, yeah, I'm waiting for my chance. I'm waiting for my sermon. For 3 months, he was, 50 days, to the day of, he was writing, because as soon as I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm preaching that day. I believe he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, say this. These men are not drunk as you suppose. Oh, now say this. And he went through the whole sermon that way. Incredible. Incredible. But that's not an experience that can just happen to Peter. That can happen to Bruce. That can happen to Justin. That can happen, to all of us, right? Because look at, some people would say, well, it's only the men that are supposed to do that. But it says in my Bible, their sons and daughters shall prophesy. Come on. In other words, God will use anybody who is open to being used. Are we open to being used today? Because you're in church? Right? Or how about tomorrow when you wake up, or you go to work, or you're at home? Do you know that God can use in your home, He can use you? My son used to say this to Renita and I all the time, I can't get away with anything. We said, well, that's because of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us and shows us things. I found out later that he got away with some things I didn't know about. But anyway, that's a whole another story. Glory to God. But here's what I'm saying is that all of us have to come back to, am I a candidate to be used by God? Maybe. Maybe. As far as God's concerned, He's already filled you. But it's up to you to kick out the door and say, Lord, I'm going to be used. And it should be simple as this. You just get an inkling and you go, I've missed so many of these. And I know. And if you keep ignoring, then God's going to almost go, well, they're not a candidate. So I'll find somebody who is. Just this last week, out to lunch. It was last Sunday, as a matter of fact. And there was a man that came to get some food, and he just got a to-go order. And I felt impressed. Just go tell him I love him. And it would have been the easiest thing for me to do. And I didn't do it. I just put the dam in the wall. I'm sure that many have had that experience. It's time for us to kick that dam out. And say, Lord, out of my spirit, Lord, I'm gonna be used. And Lord, I'm not going to push it. And here's the other cool thing is you don't have to be used like me. And I don't have to be used like you. But all of us together form a body that we can be used. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And this is Peter and John been to the temple, man got healed, all of that. And they're up before, just as Jesus said, they're up before the authorities, not only in the church, but government authorities. And they've given these answers, right? And in chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Uneducated, untrained. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting a seminary degree or getting filled with the Word, going to teaches, going to Bible school. But sometimes I think you go to those things and it absolutely drains you of the spontaneity of the Spirit using you, because you have to have the formula just right, or you know, I've got to build my church just this way, or I need to do this, I got to have this out, I got to have that out, I've got that, we got to do three songs and you know, do this, and if we dance, we got to do it this certain way because we've been trained. But listen, there's a place of inspiration that comes by the Spirit where that river is flowing, that Simba go, they're not that smart at home. Right. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's using us. But not just me. If it's just me, that's ridiculous. When we have, you know, a multitude of other people that God wants to use and wants that river to flow through. Come on, I'm a candidate. You're a candidate. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've got to hurry. Hallelujah! I want a Holy Spirit-filled river church. I said, I want a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, devil-stomping church. Right? But unless we realize who we are and what we have and what God has commissioned us to do, we'll just sit. See, I want the church to be in operation not only in this building, but out there. Right? At Walmart, at Wendy's, at, you know, at Boeing, at wherever you're at, the doctor's office. Come on. Sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. Zach was just saying that one word can be the doorway into the man's heart. God knows exactly what they need. And God, listen, God always, always, always waits for our obedience to give us the next step. Thank you, thank you. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Come on. I'm an each one. Are you in each one? Pretty quiet. I'm in each one. Are you in each one? Yeah. Right? If you're in each one, then the manifestation of the Spirit is given to you to profit with all. So in other words, I should expect the Holy Spirit with this river that's inside of me to flow out of me by manifesting Himself in certain ways. And we're going to read a list, but it's not a conclusive list. There's more than this. Yes. But listen to what he goes on to say. He says, the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit wants to use me. And when Holy Spirit shows up, these things are going to be into effect. It's really interesting. The last verse of that chapter says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Why? So that you can put on your card, I am Bruce, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, who has the gift of discerning of spirits. No, 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 no. I want the best gift so that I can meet the need of the person who's presented before me, so that if they need a word of wisdom, I have it. If they need a word of knowledge, I have it. If they need my faith to be raised to a level that can do super, I have it, because I'm asking God to use me on a consistent daily basis. Come on. Come on. But it's up to us to get a hunger for those things. It's up to us to get a desire for those things. And again, sometimes we're waiting for the feeling of anointing to come upon us in order to act. Sometimes the feelings don't come. But if you expect and you act anyway, no matter how you feel, then God can begin to use you right now. Because He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on. Are you with me today? Come on, you want to be used by God? Come on, begin to have an expectation. Say, here I am, God, use me. Here I am. You almost have to be like Mary. Lord, it doesn't even make sense that you're trying to use me to bring Jesus into the world. But nevertheless, Lord, I am your handmaiden. Use me. Use me. I'm your servant, God. Use me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending us Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for dying for us and allowing us, taking our place so that we could be the receivers of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today that you live in us, you dwell in us. And we just want to give you praise and glory and honor. Come on, if there's anybody listening to me that's never received Jesus, He's the way, He's the door. You can't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you until your heart is made new, until you realize that sin is keeping me from the Father and Jesus paid the price for my sins. So I just have to recognize that I need a Savior. And Jesus is my Savior. So I ask Jesus to become Lord of my life. I receive Him into my heart. The second that you do that, the Holy Spirit comes zoom right into your heart, because your heart has been made right with God. And then you can ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you a prayer language. It's a gift. He'll give it to you. But you got to ask Him for it. But once those things have happened, you need to consecrate your life to Him and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. So, Father, that's what we do today. And, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for everything you've spoken to here. We believe we've heard from you. And, Lord, we're going to act on what we've heard. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Woo! Holy Spirit, flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.